You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, we are back. Eddie Pascal, Upon Further Review. Me and the boys down here in Indy, and we are right next to, let me paint a picture real quick. You probably hear it in the background. We are right next to where the offensive linemen are benching. And this kid from Weber State just put up 39 reps of 225 and made me feel really crummy about myself. But, man, this is fun. Things are heating up here. A little later in the week, media availability, or I should say player availability, started a little bit ago. Guys are benching, getting ever closer to the on-field drills, things like that. And it feels good. The energy is here, baby. It's picking up, feeling good, feeling strong. And it's going to be a fun couple days. But this morning, let's go back to this morning just for a second. So we heard from GM Mike Mayock yesterday, this morning, and today, really, all John Gruden, baby. All Grudog, all the time. So he had his normal session with the media, as Mike did yesterday, talked to the national media, said hello to some old friends at ESPN, went on Sirius, talked to our locals. After that, we went and we sat down with Coach in the Batcave, in his room at the hotel where we're staying. And pretty cool, so I'll lift the veil for just a second. Coach has not one, but two rooms. He's got two rooms, one for sleeping, one for rest, and the other kind of a de facto office, if you will. You know, he's got his whole setup there, his computer, he could watch film, all of that. So he went up there, had a little fun. He was in a good mood this morning, and for good reason. There's nothing better than the Combine, man. I mean, the Combine is a blast. And like I said, things are heating up in a big way this afternoon. We hit on a bunch of topics with Coach. We talked about guys that he wants to see take a step forward in year two, which I think has been kind of a common theme here the past couple days. I know that we're going draft heavy, but let's not forget about the guys that we picked just a year ago. Just a year ago, we're talking guys like Colton Miller, Brandon Parker, Arden Key, Mo Hurst, who probably had the best rookie season of anyone in silver and black last year, and PJ Hall as well. So guys that are, you know, we hear all the time about the step that guys need to take between year one and year two. So while we are fired up about all the prospects here, we're sitting here, we're watching the bench press, all of that, let's not forget about the guys currently on the roster. But we hit on that. We talked a little bit about, you know, Coach is regarded as such a quarterback guy. You know, we all remember Coach Gruden's quarterback camp, one of the best programs the good people at ESPN ever put on the air. And it doesn't matter. You know, I think we'll get into this with Kyle Martin in a little bit. But Coach kind of doubled down on what Mike Mayock said yesterday, unsurprisingly so. Saying that Derek Carr is this organization's quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback. He didn't mince words. And truth be told, it's kind of silly that we're even having this conversation. It's kind of silly. But anyways, I digress. Coach is always going to be asked about quarterbacks. And I don't know why, but I find that immensely fascinating. And so we got his thoughts on the quarterback class. And then also, in something that might have a little bit more of an impact, especially in the short term for the Silver and Black, is the defensive line class in this year's draft. Mike Mayock said it's one of the best he's seen, probably the best he's seen in a decade. Coach kind of doubled down on that, agreeing. He said, look, outside, inside, there's guys who can do everything, and we are in a position where we need to address that. We need to be better there. And I'm babbling on and on, so let's just get to it. He can say it so much better than I can. Here it is from this morning, our interview in the suite of our hotel in Indy, with head coach John Gruden. I feel like I'm in the Batcave a little bit. In your separate room, the office, the mobile command center. This is a pretty cool setup you got here.
Well, that's what we do at the Raiders.
That's right.
Now they set us up with all the college video, all the pro video. Free agency is about to start. So not only are we studying the college players, you're seeing the agents of a lot of these free agents. Some guys become available in trade. So sometimes you got to come up here and take a look at the video to see what you think.
You know, you think back to it this time a year ago, coming in your first combine with the staff, fast forward a year, what's the biggest difference between 2019 combine and 2018?
Well, I think obviously we know where we are, we know what we need And now it's about going out and improving this football team, whether it be in free agency or in the draft. And most importantly, we got to continue to develop our young players, particularly last year's draft class. A lot of those guys played, and the staff is familiar with one another. We did make some changes, but got a long way to go. We're excited about this process to get better.
You know, I'll get back to those young players in just a sec from last year, but I'm curious, as a staff, when you come into Indy for the week, what do you set the goal as for the week when you come in here? What do you guys really want to accomplish as a group?
Well, number one, we want to get information, critical information. It all starts with the health of these players. Don't underestimate how important our training staff is. How healthy is this player? And then we have 60 private interviews set up, so you get a chance to spend 15 minutes. Not that a 15-minute interview can impact your decision, but you do get a first opportunity to meet somebody and greet them and find out what makes them tick. Then you get a chance to see them perform. Even though it's not live football, you see how fast they are, how high they can jump, how they collaborate with coaches on the field and interact with their teammates. So it's a process of information gathering, and it's really cool.
You know, key to that information gathering, I'm sure, is General Manager Mike Mayock. Now, a couple months into it, is there anything about Mike that surprised you?
No, I've known Mike a long time. That's a big reason I think he's here. His passion for football is incredible. I think you probably sense that yourself. He loves the evaluation process, building a football team, and his energy, I think, has really impacted our building. Our scouts have taken to him, and our meetings have been fun and exciting, and I'm anxious to work with him.
You know, one thing that Mike said yesterday when we were talking, he said this defensive line class is the best that he's seen in about a decade. When you take a look at this class, and not getting too much into specifics, when you take a look at this group, what really stands out to you from that, those guys in particular?
Well, one of the things that stands out to me is some of the guys at the top of the list didn't play much their final season. You know, Bosa missed a lot of time at Ohio State. Gary, I don't know if Gary played more than 50% of the snaps at Michigan. Oliver, an inside rusher, didn't play in a lot of the games this year, so you're looking at tape from the previous season. Now, when you watch the Clemson Tigers, the national championship team, you can see why. They've got some guys up front that dominate the game. There's a kid at Kentucky and Josh Allen that it's an outstanding prospect. And then there's some guys that aren't really on the radar yet that have emerged on tape and guys we discovered in the Senior Bowl. So it is a deep group. Hopefully we can get a couple of those guys.
You know, one thing you said during your press conference with the national media earlier that I wrote down I thought was really interesting is you said that some of these guys come in and they don't have the bevy of pass rush moves. They have one move that they're really good at, but maybe they don't have that second, that complementary move. When you take a look at a guy, how important is it for him to have kind of that full package of ways to get to the quarterback?
Well, it's important. You know, how versatile are you? Can you rush from the right side? Can you rush from the left side? Can you go inside over the guard? Can you operate in a two-point stance? Do you have to be down in a four-point stance? And what are your moves? What arsenal do you have? Do you have a power rush? You got a spin move? You got an inside move? How do you use your hands? How instinctive are you? But don't forget, you know, you got to stop the run. And you can talk about our sack total all you want last year. If you don't stop the run, you don't get that quarterback in obvious passing situations. That's what we got to do better than anything. Stop the run so we can unleash some of the blitzes and some of the things that'll help us get home.
You mentioned stopping the run. Towards the end of the year, were you encouraged a little bit by what you saw in that regard? You look at a guy like Mo and PJ, guys that you obviously want to have big steps, make big steps in year two. Were you kind of happy with the way that that group kind of collectively finished 2018?
I think so. I think we got a little bit better. I think getting Justin Ellis back helped. You know, he's here to stop the run. He is a run-stopping defensive tackle. So getting him healthy back in the lineup really helped. And I think we had some young guys that did improve. But you need at-bats. You know, you need 15, 18, 20 at-bats. And I mean getting after the quarterback on second and 13, third and nine, two-minute drills. You got to give these defensive linemen opportunity to get there, and hopefully we can do a better job of that.
You know, being here in Indy, you mentioned the interview process, the interview portion of this whole process. And I'm wondering, when you sit down with a guy, is the answer to the question more important or how they answer the question?
Great point. I'm interested in how they answer these questions. You know, are you sitting on the edge of the seat? You know, do you really like football? Or are you just laid back, you know, going on with a question? You know, some guys have a real passion to play. Some guys maybe not as passionate. But I think to wear the shield, I think you got to have guys that are willing to play for nothing, guys that have a burning desire to be great. and have a commitment to excellence. That's the words we live by here.
You know, you look at, obviously, you kind of reinforced Derek as the quarterback earlier. Mike said the same thing yesterday. But everyone always wants to know, what does John Gruden think about the quarterback class? Regardless, you could have Dan Marino under center. It doesn't matter. But do you kind of like being the quarterback guy that people are curious to pick your mind about what's going on with these young signal callers?
You know, a lot of people make fun of a lot of the things that I say or whatever. But if you don't study the quarterback position, you're a fool. Even if you're lucky to have a great quarterback like we are, you got to take a look at who's available in free agency, who's available in this year's draft, and you better know these men cold. And you got to study them. You got to spend the time to look at them. And I'm not saying we're ever going to make a change at that position, but you have to do your diligence and study every guy at every position.
You know, so often we hear about the guy, the big jump from year one to year two with guys, and we mentioned Mo and PJ. And Arden a little bit too, but when you look at that group, are you excited about the 2018 draft class and what they can do going forward in 2019?
I am excited about them. You know, we have two rookie offensive tackles, Brandon Parker, Colt Miller. Nobody started two rookies at tackle. And those three defensive linemen give us five big bodies that played a lot of football. Doesn't mean they played great all the time, but if they improve and show second year improvement, dramatic improvement, and we can add some players, that'll give us a good base to build our team around. And I hope those guys are listening. I hope Maurice Hurst and PJ Hall, Arden Key are listening. We need you guys big time to show Raider fans you guys are ready to make a big jump.
So, Coach, we appreciate your time. So I'll get you out of here on this. Every year we come here, one of the most exciting parts for us is the St. Elmo shrimp cocktail. Are you? And Mike was kind of tepid on it yesterday. Not a huge shrimp cocktail guy. Where do you fall on shrimp cocktail?
Yeah, I'm out of it.
You're out?
I'm with Mayo. I burn my face off eating that sauce. The sauce will kill you.
The sauce is the best part, though. Yeah.
I don't know if it's horseradish or what it is.
It's it's like horseradish mixed with cayenne or something.
I got a tip for you. Go to Tony's.
Okay.
Tell them Gruden sent you.
Okay.
It's a new place. It's an Impact Steakhouse right around the corner from here. I'm telling you, Tony's.
Okay, we'll do
that.
They
don't have shrimp cocktail, but they got whatever else you want.
Well, if it gets the seal of approval from you, I'm sure it's probably pretty all right. Well, Coach, we thank you for your time and good luck the rest of the week.
Appreciate you.
So there it is, our conversation with Coach, a fired up coach, a coach who surprised me a little bit with his assessment of the shrimp cocktail. I don't know if we're in the minority here, Producer Trav, of actually enjoying the shrimp cocktail here in Indy, but I'm confused by this realization.
Yeah, I can't get enough of that.
Can't get enough.
Cocktail sauce or
in
whatever
fact,
it is. Yeah.
In fact, we're going tomorrow.
And I already had one this week.
Boom. Yeah, never enough.
Two, maybe even three. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
See where the night takes us. So it's time for, and I'm looking at my notes, my copious notes here, and according to my documents, since yesterday this segment still remains sponsorless, correct, Producer Trav?
As of now, yeah.
Yeah, as of now, no sponsor. We're into victory formation. Eddie Pescott, Producer Trav, and the great Kyle Martin Media. You know him as our esports correspondent, our junior draft analyst. We had to postpone the recording of his section of the podcast, believe it or not, because Kyle was out evaluating. He was just speaking with, if I'm not mistaken, Kyle, Stanford running back Bryce Love, is that correct?
Correct, who is an incredibly well-spoken individual. I mean, he went to Stanford. He's incredibly smart, loves the game.
Loves ball.
And seems to be on the right trajectory to getting back on the field. You know, every player says they're ahead of schedule with their injuries, but, you know, after a torn ACL, he feels as if he'll be ready by mid-training camp for whoever drafts him.
Okay, mid-training camp. So, you know, when we heard from Coach this morning, it was the three things that Coach needs to accomplish or what he wants to see from prospects this week. Number one was their health. Are these guys healthy? Number two, do they love ball?
Yeah.
And number three, what do the measurables look like? And obviously number three, as we were talking with Mike yesterday, Mike Mayock said more of a cross check more than anything. You know, you just want to kind of check that box and be like, this is what we thought we were getting and bada bing, bada boom. But we both listened to Coach this morning, Kyle. And I'm curious what you kind of took away from hearing his podium session.
It's hard to say because I feel like we learned more in the one-on-one.
Yeah,
that you did
of course.
With the Gru Dog. A lot of the podium sessions to me just feel very smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, a lot of deception.
A lot of deception.
A lot of deception,
sure.
Which is fun though.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you know, deception really a founding principle of our game. You get asked these questions and you know you're going to get asked these questions. But how are you going to answer him? You going to answer him truthfully?
No.
Probably not. I mean, what is your motivation if you're a head coach, a general manager, one of the 64 of those gentlemen who currently have those jobs? What is your motivation to be super forthcoming at this juncture? I don't know if there is one.
No. It's funny to me, too, to be a part of the media scrums and listen to the questions that get asked to these GMs and head coaches, where people think that by saying, oh, is this your guy? Is this right out your guy? That they're just going to be like, yep, we're going to draft him.
Be like, hey, Cliff Kingsbury, thinking Kyler at one, huh? And he's like, you know what? You know what, Bob? I am.
Yeah.
You got me.
Why?
Good for you.
Why?
Good reporting, brother. I'm gonna let you fire that tweet off real quick, my man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. I mean, you have to ask the questions. Oftentimes there's questions that you and I, we have
to
ask.
Sure, but you can word it in a way that's not so just lazy and straight to the point. You know, you can doll it up a little bit, try to get another bit to come in, a little bite, that's not just, nope, not going to draft him.
Yeah, you actually, speaking of poor question asking, we talked yesterday and you were furious. Yesterday was full rage, Kyle. Today, not so much. You've simmered out a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was just the excitement of the combine. I'm a big combine guy.
Yeah, how was it so far?
It's enjoyable. I mean, we've got the fans here today, which
I like
always
that.
Interesting.
I think it adds the energy a little bit.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, there's a little crowd noise now, a little ambient noise,
not just the sound
of nothing. But, yeah, we were watching the bench press earlier, as you said, earlier on the pod.
Yeah.
And, boy, oh, boy, I can't imagine. What was his name? Iosu?
I believe I'm going to butcher this poor gentleman's name, but Iosua Opeta. Opeta?
Opeta?
Yeah, I think it's Opeta. Weber State kid, 39 reps at 225. That's sickening.
I know in my lifetime I'll never be able to do that.
What are you benching right now? How many reps could you put up?
Right now?
Right now, 225. What are you at?
Oh, 225?
Yeah, that's what they're benching, right?
Oh, there's no way I'm putting up 225.
You don't think you put up 225?
I promise you I'm not putting up 225.
Producer Jim, he's off screen. Are you putting up 225 right now?
Once.
I think, see, Jim's saying once. He could do it once. I think, and I don't want to flex because I'm far from where I'm at physically. I think I could do it once, but I'd need, and I think I'd do it once, come down, and I need help on the second one coming up. I think, that's where I would be at. Yeah, a lot
no
of shaking.
No
a lot
shot.
Of shaking. A lot of thigh action, a lot of lifting of the a lot of with the shoulders. But we'll see. One thing, and I will go back to Gruden just for a sec. One thing that coach was talking about today, and I think it didn't surprise me at all. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I don't even really know the right adjective I'm looking for, but after yesterday, Mike Mayock doubles down on Derek. Hey, he's a franchise quarterback. He's a heck of a football player. You know, you're always evaluating, but you're going to be pretty hard-pressed to find a guy out there better than DC. And today, Coach Gruden essentially triples down on that. Someone, speaking of that wordplay and that deception you were talking
That's
about.
That's the perfect example.
Perfect example. Someone asked Coach, do you see Derek as a franchise quarterback? Coach says yes. And he follows up. He goes, do you see him as your franchise quarterback? And Coach kind of smiled at him. He said, yeah, man, what do you want me to say? You want me to give him a hug and a kiss? Like, what do you want? So, I don't know.
Obvious, stupid questions like that.
This whole story, quote-unquote storyline this offseason, has been so silly. Let's not forget, 2 years ago, DC is an MVP candidate. Obviously, that last year does not go the way that he wants to go. I don't think we're going to pretend that was what we wanted or he wanted or anyone in this building wanted. But let's chill out. Let's remember, 2 years
first
ago,
year in the system.
First year in the system, we're gonna keep preaching it over and over and over. And it was refreshing for Coach and Mayock to be in sync. Derek's the guy. He's a franchise quarterback. Kind of let's move the show along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone wants to harp on it, and it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're here for the combine.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about anything else.
Yeah.
You know I need draft evaluation in my life.
I know you do. To get back to your evaluation, Kyle, what's been your biggest – it's kind of an open, loaded question, but your biggest takeaway? I know it's hard because we haven't really seen guys – I mean, we're just getting into it now literally as we speak. guys are starting to bench press and things like that. You know, we're kind of getting into the meat of what the combine is really about. But now we've been here for almost 2 days. Kind of what are your big, you know, kind of top end takeaways from the first, call it, 48 hours here in Indy?
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of evaluation.
Sure. Obviously came into the combine expecting to talk a lot about the defensive line, and we have.
Which we have. We've done a lot.
But I've been impressed. Well, not impressed, I guess. I've been surprised with myself in terms of I haven't expected to think as much about the wide receivers and the running backs as I have.
Okay.
Speaking with our friends at the Cowboys, Brian Broaddus and I have been going back and forth about DK Metcalf.
Just two evaluators chopping it up.
Who Coach Gruden took the time to discuss earlier today too.
Yeah, he was pretty high on Metcalf this morning. And
have you seen the photo of the man?
I've seen the link to the photo that you've sent, but I haven't seen the photo. I'm gonna pull it up real quick. Give me some Metcalf news.
DK Metcalf is 6'4", 230. Wide receiver. He looks like a linebacker, and he's got all the skills to be a dominant receiver. But the question that Broaddus and I have been discussing is whether or not...
Oh, my goodness. Is this him?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Incredible.
My God.
Looks like a Greek god.
Yeah, that is... Boy, oh, boy. That is something.
We've been discussing, though, whether or not his size...
If it's too much, right?
Yeah, if he's too
boxy. If he's almost too ripped. I'm going to pull this photo up for producer Trav real quick. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, who was the guy that you drew a comparison to in your story earlier today on Raiders.com?
Oh,
David Boston.
David,
right?
Boston, yes. Yeah. Thank you. David Boston, drafted by the Cardinals, 1999, eighth overall. Had two good years in Arizona. He had one season where he put up 1,500 yards and I think 9 touchdowns. But it was later revealed that Mr. Boston had been using steroids.
And we're not suggesting that Mr. Metcalf is doing
not at all. But it led to suspensions and it led to injuries.
And kids, that's just a lesson. There's a lesson there. Yeah. Stay away from performance-enhancing drugs.
But aside from all of that, while he was a productive receiver, I mean, who cares, I guess, if his size was too big for the position.
Yeah, sure.
If he put up two seasons of over 1,000 yards, obviously you'd look like for more consistency, a longer duration, right? Because he only played for the Cardinals 4 or 5 years.
Wait, so you're saying that that Boston was a success because he put up back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons?
I'm saying, like, that's not a bad – if you draft a guy
– If you're picking someone in the first round, they need to be better than two seasons. That's not even halfway through the rookie deal.
That's what I'm saying. He need more longevity. The guy played 4 to 5 years, and he's an eighth overall pick, right?
Yeah.
And obviously there are other factors that led to him not staying in the league longer, but a lot of that had to deal with, according to Broaddus, his size and how it limited his route-running abilities.
Sure. You know what's interesting? That's a great point, Kyle. We've gone so defensive line heavy the past probably couple weeks, and for good reason, too. Look, you're dead last in sacks. But as Coach said, he goes, look, I know the sack numbers are not there. They need to get better. But he goes, you know, you'd be able to stop the run too. So it's kind of a two-headed monster there. But we've talked so much about the defensive line. This class is stacked, absolutely stacked with defensive linemen. So it makes sense. But I'm glad that you brought up the wide receivers because let's play a hypothetical game. You throw in DK Metcalf, right? You throw in your guy. And where do you feel comfortable taking? I can't imagine you feel comfortable taking him at 4. He's probably more of one of the two later picks that we have, 24, 27.
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, I'm just a guy. I just work here.
I know, but we're just playing the hypothetical
game.
Exactly.
So hypothetically, if I were to use our picks, right, if I'm in the war room, the draft room, making the selections, I got to go defensive line, 4th overall.
Sure.
Then, if he's available, Devin Bush, add a linebacker, add a little bit more to the defense, right? And then with 27... Who knows, A.J. Brown, another Ole Miss wide receiver who's teammates with D.K. Metcalf. N'Keal Harry could be there. Marquise Hollywood Brown could be there from Oklahoma. Yeah. I think you could very well see D.K. Metcalf there as well as many other talented wide receivers.
And in he walks. As we were cursing his name, Brian Broaddus just returns to his table next to us. But, all right, let's think about it this way, right? You throw in a guy like Metcalf for whatever your 27th pick is. Your wide receiver room then looks like, let's look real quick. Marcel Ateman, just going down the list. Ateman under contract. Keon Hatcher, I believe, under contract. Jordy, under contract. Seth, under contract. And Dwayne Gucci Harris, set to hit free agency. So that's a position where you got to get better. You absolutely have to. You got to get better.
Sure.
I mean, Marcel had his flashes this year, and I think both of us are really excited to see what Marcel can be going forward. Really nice start, really nice finish to his rookie season in Silver and Black. But he needs a little help. He's only going to get bigger and stronger and faster and better and more comfortable. Marcel certainly looks like an arrow up kind of guy. Jordy, I mean, God bless Jordy, a pro's pro. You know, but a guy who's nearing the end of his career, I think that's fair to say.
In the twilight stage.
Yeah, in the
sure.
twilight stage. Still a quality player.
Yeah.
A very quality player. But you got to get younger. You have to get younger. So some fresh blood in that room, whether it's a Metcalf or a Hollywood Brown or who was the other gentleman you brought up?
Well, there's A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, both Mr. Browns.
Yeah. I think everyone's really excited about Marquise Brown from Oklahoma. I don't know if that's because his cousin is Antonio Brown, but he was a stud. I mean, when Kyler Murray's your quarterback, they had quite the tandem going on last year. But we'll see, man. I think, like I said earlier, there's a bunch of different wide receivers that we could select. One last thing on DK Metcalf.
Yes.
When I was looking at his stats earlier, don't jump off the screen at you.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Not a big numbers guy. And you and I have talked about before where, and this might be a personal bias of mine, but when I see guys, especially we've talked about number four a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the fourth pick over and over and over, and we're going to keep talking about it. But when at number four, to me, well, really anywhere in the first round, I feel comfortable, especially at the skill positions and defensively too, picking up guys or selecting guys who balled out in college.
Yeah,
so
it's
who
a
really put
based
it?
League.
Yeah, exactly. It's a production-based league. I want you to produce. I want to see that you were able to produce in college, which gives me an indication that you're able to produce in the NFL.
Yeah, and if
I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, in 21 games at.
Go ahead. Sorry.
In 21 games at Ole Miss, over 3 years, DK Metcalf, I believe, put up almost 1,300 yards. That's not it.
I don't know, brother. That's what, like 60 something yards a game, if I'm doing my math correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, is it possible? And look, this is what I always come back to. It's certainly possible, and it happens all the time. It happens every year. Guys who are good, solid college football players become really good in the NFL. I get that. But for me, I don't, and like I said, I know it might just be my own personal bias. Selecting a guy in the first round, really the first two, three rounds, I want guys who put up big numbers in college.
I know. I think
that's like, it's a production-based business. You need to produce.
I would love to hear a coach break down why it's acceptable, or if it's not acceptable. Look at DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, right, with the Texans.
Sure.
For the longest time, he had a rotating door of quarterbacks. Yet he still managed to put up insane.
Yeah, you put up big numbers. Players make plays, Kyle.
But at the college level,
middling, average.
Is there a point where it's, you know what? Even though his quarterback's not that great, should he still be getting open and doing all these things like a DeAndre Hopkins, where regardless of who's back there, they're making plays? Or is it a thing? You know, like, is the college system
no,
different?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, because we talk about it all the time in the sense of if you need to give your guys chances to go make plays. So whether that's, you know, giving your stud running back touches, getting him in a groove, whether that's forcing the issue a little bit and giving your number one wide receiver a chance to go make plays. I mean, you said it perfectly. Like, Hopkins is a perfect example. Perhaps not the greatest. I don't think anyone's going to deny the greatest battery of quarterbacks he's had at his disposal. But you look at his stats, thousand. I mean,
you
he's
would never know.
Yeah, you would never know. You would never know.
No, I mean, and I feel like a lot of times you would remember the quarterbacks that he played. If 10 years from now, when you go back and you look at DeAndre Hopkins' stats, you're going to look at him and be like, I can't remember who his quarterbacks were. But if his production numbers were bad, you're going to be like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
That team was bad because X, Y, and Z, and he had a terrible quarterback throwing to him, which is why he wasn't productive. But still, since he was good, you probably just won't even think about it.
Dude, isn't that funny, though? Like, because I think we do the same thing where you look at a guy like, I mean, Jerry Rice is a bad example because he was a stud from day one till he retired
the
six weeks
time.
Ago. Yeah. But you look at, like, you know, some of these, like, stud wide receivers, and every time you go through, like, their Pro Football Reference, you're like, oh, that's weird. He played, you know, he played in every game but one, and he only had, like, 500 yards. That's weird. What's the next thing you do? You look to see who the quarterback was.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he had the ghost of John Kitna. You know what I mean? Like, but it's funny that that's kind of the progression that we go through when you look at these wide receivers and what and the numbers they put up.
Yeah. So we shall see what DK Metcalf is able to do at the NFL level.
Yeah. And speaking of DK Metcalf, we will get to see. Well, I guess we'll see. But we'll hear from Mr. Metcalf tomorrow on Friday, March 1. Where did the month of February go? So tomorrow, quarterbacks will speak. The Kyler Murray show will descend upon Indianapolis. It's going to be nuts. It'll be fun to see, though. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure everyone in this little media area that we're in are going to be there. I mean, we'll go just for the entertainment value, I'm sure. But
a lot of pushing and shoving.
A lot of pushing and shoving. Rage Kyle will come back. Well, quarterbacks talk tomorrow, wide receivers, tight ends, and then the kickers and punters who, please, I beg of you, don't forget about them. Don't forget about the kickers and punters. Show some love to the kickers and punters. And then on-field drills tomorrow as well. The running backs, the offensive linemen, the big fellas.
That's when the real
getting out there.
Starts.
Oh, yeah. And then the specialists as well. So it's coming, man. It is gearing up here in Indy. I'm excited. I'm fired up. We got a couple days left here. We're going to keep cranking, and I'm fired up. I feel like we're really starting to kind of peak. We're getting every minute, we're getting ever closer to what's going to be a really exciting, fun few days down the stretch at Lucas Oil Stadium. So until tomorrow, and I took a peek at the show we got for tomorrow. I did a little self-scouting, see what we got coming down. Strong day on the pod tomorrow. Feeling real good. Feeling excellent, but tomorrow's a new day. So we are out of here. For Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, Kyle Martin, producer Jim, coach, really our whole squad here in Indy. We will catch you guys tomorrow, same time, same place, on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.